three important things in ministry that are very important, and they have to be rightly divided. And we'll aim tonight, or if it take all the week, to rightly divide these three aspects of ministry. I want to ask you to open your Bibles to 2 Kings, chapter 2. 2 Kings, chapter 2. We're going to begin tonight with mantles, impartations, and anointings. Mantles, impartation, and anointing. They come from different levels. For instance, the Holy Ghost said to me to study, mantle is an identity. It's a character. It only manifests through a proper relationship. And then when you get down to impartation, it's a functioning. It's knowing how to function in a certain manner in the spirit. And then anointing is a divine ability. So we're talking about mantles, impartation, and anointing. When we read here in 2 Kings 2, 8, and there's so much here, but I want to start here because it goes right to the wrapping. I said it goes to the wrapping. Eight verse says in 2 Kings 2, 8, and Elijah took his what? Mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. Now you know Elijah told him he wasn't going to leave him, so anything the mantle wrapped or anything come down from heaven, Elisha had made his mind up, I'm going to be there. Sometimes other ministers throw you off. They question your integrity. They question, why are you so loyal? Why won't you do your own thing? And they try to turn you from what God is about to impart to you, because they're not willing to pay the price. So it says it's odd for you to be so loyal, so dedicated. It's odd for you. You go do your own meeting, man. All these meetings he having, go to do your own meeting. You got to be to all those meetings. Yeah, and probably most of the time you're just meeting. See. Then he goes on to read here in the ninth verse, and it came to pass when they were gone over. I like that, when they were gone over. It says in the end of the eighth verse, and they too went over on dry ground. So whatever was happening in Elijah's life, Elisha made so he took a part of it.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you really get on the coattail of a man, a real man, yes, and a real woman of God, and they see your sincerity,
yes, sir,
they be peeping for you.
Yes, sir.
I wonder if you're going to cross this line. I wonder if you're going to go through these waters with me.
Yes, sir.
Because as he goes through the water, something sap it out of me into him. If he's willing to pay the price. So here they keep saying, I mean, this is so... this verse is so pregnated with ministry, this chapter.
Yes, sir.
It's pregnated with the divine plan that God has set for his children,
yes,
to generation after generation to carry anointings that don't go to sleep.
Yes,
so I say in the ninth verse, and it came to pass when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha. Now this statement does not come overnight. I mean, we can read the context from the first verse. I know you read it before. How that boy said, I'm not going to leave you. And he said in the message of Bible, not on my life. Not on your life. I'm not going nowhere. And so it says in the night, but then it came to pass when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I should do for thee. Who, my goodness? According to who saying that?
Yeah.
The weight of this statement is who's saying it. See, Elisha had a ministry that is so powerful, and Elisha knew about it. That was a powerful statement. Ask what I should do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha wasn't stupid. Elijah had learned his lesson.
Yes, sir.
And Elijah said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Wow. Now, I've read books. Men say there's no such thing as a double portion.
Yeah.
if you haven't been there, you know. And he said, thou art asked a hard thing, because it's in the spirit world. Yeah. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. I always tell my sons, he had taught him how to see in the spirit.
Yes,
how you see in the spirit? Don't take your eyes off him. I never took my eyes off my spiritual father. I never took my eyes off him. I always had my eyes on him, watching him.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I messed around in a meeting one night, so busy taking notes. And he was ministering to women, breath, dealing with cancer. And my wife was traveling with me a lot then. And I heard it got quiet.
Yeah.
You know, I know the service was going on. He still was preaching, but he stopped talking.
Yeah.
And when I look up, he had his head between two women looking at me. He didn't ever say a word. I heard the word dummy.
Yeah.
Are you going to pay attention?
Yeah.
I heard those words. Are you going to pay attention?
Yeah.
You can't be taking notes with your head down.
Yeah.
I'm showing you something now, how to be a gentleman.
Yeah.
I'm showing you how to minister to a woman properly.
Yeah.
Don't put your hand all over that woman.
Yeah.
Let your wife put your hand on her breast and put your hand on top of her. See, I learned that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the proper etiquette.
Come on,
he was showing me things that wouldn't bring flaws to the spirit.
Yeah. Ah, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
Thank you,
Lord. I got that lesson.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You have to pay attention. What I say?
Wow.
If someone has something you want, you got to pay attention. And so, and it came to pass in the 11th verse that they still went on and talked. They talked. That behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into the heaven. Oh, look at verse 12. He'd been practicing. Huh? Don't let the smoke blind you from the fire. Keep your eyes on the prize. And Elijah saw it. And he didn't only saw it, he cried out, what did he say? My father. My father. If you're nobody else's father, you're my father.
Yes,
I've decided. The chariot of Israel and the horseman thereof, and he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took, verse 13 now, he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. Verse 14, and he took what? The mantle of Elijah. See, both voices talk about he took the mantle of Elijah. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah?
Where?
The answer was, he's with you.
Yeah.
And when he had also had smitten the waters, they parted heaven and thither, and Elisha went over. Now these guys been heckling him in 15 verse, they've been heckling him, been playing around, going to school, learning how to preach. And when the sons of the prophet which were to view at Jericho saw him, They said, the spirit of Elijah does rest on Elijah. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Yes, now, before this week, God, I'll get further in this. But there are some things that we need to talk about. Wrong motive.
Yeah. Come on, Apostle. Mm. Yeah.
Wrong motive will mess you up.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I kind of remembered a man destruction is where he cannot think no further than his own interest.
Yes, sir. Wow. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Mm. Mm.
Yes.
Yes. Elisha got lost in Elijah.
Yes, sir. Oh, come on, Apostle.
And he paid attention.
Yeah.
In 2 Kings chapter 4. Here's a boy who kept failing the test.
Yeah.
Because we're going to find out he had the wrong motive.
Yeah.
My wife and I was talking a few minutes this afternoon. And we came to this conclusion that... you just can't follow a person for what the person has.
Right. Yeah.
You want the type of lifestyle that person living.
Right.
But you won't pay the price for the anointing.
Come on, Apostle. Yeah.
And that's what happened a lot of time in ministry.
Yeah.
It will come to you if you do it properly.
Yeah.
But you can't do it just for that.
Yeah. Right.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Are you following me? So here, this boy kept failing the test. Elisha passed the test, but Gehazi.
Yeah.
He had wrong motive. I watched this boy. I got a few marks in my Bible about him here. Elisha had helped a woman. He used him. Lord, notice this Shunammite woman kindness here in 2 Kings 4. She had built him a place and stuff and told her, the prophet wanted to know, can I do something for you?
Yeah, right.
But I'm not asking about no ordinary thing.
Right.
Actually, something unusual, yeah. Something that is not working right, not something you can buy. The woman had money.
Yeah.
But do you have anything you need that money can't buy?
Yeah.
I have another account open higher than money. That will produce, if I activate it, it will produce dividends from another world.
Yes.
We have to understand that account is out there.
Yes, sir.
And so the Shunammite woman was kind in 2 Kings 4:8. It says, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, which was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in endeavor to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passes by us continuously. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bread, a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. Was she so kind? And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he should turn in there. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. Now notice verse 12. Now notice this boy have an opportunity, Gehazi.
Yes, sir.
Has an opportunity like Elisha had with Elijah. He was trying to train him. He was letting him in on it, letting him see some things supernaturally. But you know, if you're dull, even supernatural things can be going on. You won't even see them. And so he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. Notice verse 13, and he said, And he said unto him, say now unto her. You know, a wise man of God, Morris Sorello, like that. He's sitting right there. He's talking to you in the third person. He got somebody else talking to you.
Yeah.
Somebody who's not in the room.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
You talking to a blank person. He over there said, Brother Sorello, say this.
Yeah, right.
But I found out that scripture.
Yeah.
Teach Bible.
That the prophet don't always have to directly speak to you.
Yeah.
Right.
He's functioning in another realm.
Yeah.
If he come out to talk to you, that realm is not going to be as strong as it should be.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Jesus.
So don't get your feeling hurt.
Yeah. Come on, Apostle.
A real man of God, you want to be kind, you want to be compassionate, but sometimes they won't say nothing to you.
Yeah.
Just nod their head. Might not nod their head. I remember further up here when he sent this boy, after this boy, woman had trouble, he sent this boy, he gave him another assignment. He told him, don't talk to nobody. Because people have a tendency to contaminate their anointing with normal talk.
Yes, sir.
Truth.
Jesus. Come on, Bob.
And verse 13, he said unto him, say now unto her, she's been good to us, behold, thou hast been careful for us, and with all this care, what is to be done for thee? Would thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people.
Watch out.
And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi, there he is, he's right in on it. I say he's right in on it.
Right.
He's going to miss it. Wrong motive. He's right there with a prophet. He's right there with a prophet operating.
Yes, sir.
The prophet trying to take him in like he was taken in.
Yes, sir.
But Gehazi didn't have what it took. Because he had other motive. He wanted stuff. He wanted suits and clothes. And even out there, cars and houses and diamonds. He wasn't paying attention to the anointing what brought all that in. Well, stuff. Don't follow a man for stuff. Hallelujah. So he says, and he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she had no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. I had a young businessman testify Sunday here in the service. Him and his wife had tried everything, young man, to have children. And he got a hold of this ministry and started coming here. And he sold $10,000 at a time. I didn't know what he was doing, but he would come up and just give me a $10,000 check, going back to the seat. Come back up, give me a $10,000 check, going back to the seat. Come back up, give me a $10,000 check, going back to the seat. But he told a testimony Sunday that him and his wife had tried every way they could to have a baby. And it never, nothing worked. Went to doctors, nothing worked. So he said he started sowing them seeds and believing God and listening to the message, and they got twins now. And he give credit to the word of God and to the things of God, following the things of God. God's still working. God didn't quit with Elijah and Elisha. No, God's still on the throne. And that's why I want to take you deeper and deeper and deeper. And one of the things you're going to have is the right motive. Stop looking at what a man has and find out who a man is. Because it's the illness that made the haveness. She's not the haveness that made the illness. It's the illness, who he is, that make the haveness.
Come on, Apostle.
So he told her the season. And the woman conceived, verse 17, and bare a son that season that Elijah had said unto her according to the time of life. Wow. Now notice in the 25th verse, when she got in trouble, she went and looked for the man of God. Now he sent this boy, he gave him his staff. But because he had the wrong motives, the staff didn't work. He failed the next grade. His anointing, his mind, his heart wasn't right. And so the staff wouldn't function for him. And the lady knew too. The lady knew Gehazi didn't have it. She said, no, I ain't going away. She fell on her knees and grabbed Elisha. Yeah. And said, I'm not leaving till you come. Yeah. Ain't nothing going to happen when that boy go.
Yes, sir.
He went there and did it.
Yeah.
I got time to go to the whole story. He went there and did it. Nothing happened.
Yeah.
Elisha had to go himself.
Yes,
and raise that boy from the dead.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Now, wrong motive. Again, in 2 Kings 5, another miracle took place. Naaman came, and the prophet didn't go out to see him.
Right.
He told him, sent him a message what to do.
Yeah.
Oh, people get upset about that, you know.
Yeah. Right.
People come right by my yard, get out and stand by the fence. I'm sitting on the porch, don't even move. I might wave.
Yeah. Come on,
they come and look, and I ain't got to be all... I'm in another world somewhere.
Yeah.
It's like that's why the fence up. One woman, I had no fence, had the circle driveway, you know. And here she comes, she drove up in the driveway.
Yeah.
Rolled up one and I said, how you doing? I said, I'm doing fine. She said, I just stopped to holler at you. Not a member, never been to the church.
Yeah.
I called my son and said, how you get some fence around here?
Yeah.
One of that woman coming, she just coming and talking about, how you doing? I ain't seen you in a long time. You know where I am.
That's right.
You don't want to see me.
Yeah. Right.
You just with your know this self, you won't see my house.
Yeah. Come on, Apostle.
Apostle Thompson.
Notice this boy had clothes on his mind.
Yeah.
This boy had material stuff on his mind. All those miracles, oh my goodness, all those miracles going on around him, he's still materialistic. Missed the mark for some clothes.
Yeah.
Do you know how long I went without wearing tailor-made suit?
Come on, Apostle.
Do you know I didn't know what a tailor was?
Yeah.
Many years in my ministry.
Right.
Do you know I didn't have tailory on my mind?
Yeah.
That's my word.
Yeah.
My mind was to walk in the spirit.
Yes.
I wore what I had, did the best I could.
Yes.
Because I wasn't going to buy a suit with my seed.
Yes.
I wasn't going to buy a car with my seed. I know my seed was my way out.
Yes.
I drove what I had and wore what I had and kept sowing. Now I have a whole closet of suits I have to give away. The only thing I do, I'm going to tear my name out of it, because the last time I took it to a place, the God got it, my name was in that guy, cut up, man. He said, my God. He said, I feel so good.
Yeah.
Every time I look at your name, you won't look at it no more, though. But he had an expensive, over $1,000 suit on there. That's a $1,300 check right there. Here's what his boy failed, and I want to show you some more, and then I want to take you back to the lesson of how to win. We're talking about mantles, impartation, and anointing. Is that right? Say it. Mantle, impartation. All right. All ministers need to talk about this subject. There's a negligence. There are mimicking. There are imitators. Saying they're operating in the anointing. And many times they don't know what the real anointing is.
Yes, sir.
Per se, how many people have you raised from the dead? How many people you laid hand on and the disease left instantly? You see, the office of an apostle, you can't call yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, right.
Matter of fact, no office in the kingdom can you call yourself. Because if you call yourself, you're going to have to take care of yourself, and you're not qualified to do that. Each time, each office I walk in, I was called by God, not by no men. I've seen men made men apostles, per se, but it don't have no fiber in it. They have all the accolades, but yet the power is not there. The evidence is not there. Just because you're a good teacher, just because you got a large church, don't make you an apostle. On the other hand, in the office of an apostle, you ought to have some evidence of ministry that goes along with the calling.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Sure.
You don't practice apostleship.
Come on, right. Apostle. Come on.
Right.
You're a dead duck. Because when you step out there and put that towel on you, uh-huh, and don't have the goods, you're a dead duck.
Yeah.
Them demons say, all right, apostle, let's look at this. Let's look at this right now. Let's look at this right now. Let's look at it right now. Let's look at it. Let's look at it. Let's look at it. I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to show it to you in the book of Acts, chapter 19.
Apostle Thompson, come on.
Yeah, let's look at it. You got to have the goods. What I say? And somebody got to train you. Hallelujah. Somebody said, no, not right now. Not right now. I was with one of my sons. We were walking down the corridor of his church. And one of his members said, hello, apostle. No, baby, no apostle right here. That's the apostle. Just be quiet. Because he know I'm protecting him.
Yeah.
Now, you may have the qualification in due season.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But you need to be checked out. And then I believe that God called you by name to be an apostle.
Yes, sir.
That's what happened to me.
Yeah.
Come on. I ain't know what an apostle was. I ain't in my mind. My wife and I off on one of our RVs. She's sitting there on the computer. And then I walked across from the refrigerator, going to my seat. And I heard the voice, I call you to be an apostle.
Yeah.
I said, what? I looked at my wife. She didn't hear nothing. I said, honey, the Lord just called me to be an apostle.
Yeah.
Now I got to go to work because I don't know what an apostle is.
Yes, sir.
But I had enough credentials under my belt in the spirit world.
Yes.
I had spent enough time not to be stupid.
Yes.
I knew now I had to study more.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, can you genuinely say,
yeah,
God called you to be an apostle? Did you hear his voice?
Come on.
Paul had evidence. Paul said, I didn't come by flesh and blood.
Yeah.
I didn't come by some calculation or calibration of myself. Paul said he called me to be an apostle.
Yes.
See, too many out there have not been called, wearing the towels and making the, but they don't have it.
Yeah.
Now, if you can genuinely say to me, Apostle Thompson, God called me to be an apostle. He told me out of his voice, he wanted me to be an apostle.
Yeah.
Very few can say that.
Very,
you're lying, drop dead.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on, sir.
Try. Trying to prove you're right.
Yes, sir. Come on, apostle.
No, men get to talking to you about you're an apostle. Now, I found out, I'm going to get back to the lesson. I found out years later that I was at a meeting, and the man was describing a different speaker. He was a younger man than me. I still don't know who he is. I got the tape. And he said so-and-so, something-so. When he got to me, he said, now, this Dr. Thompson said, I'm in fear and trembling. I'm younger than him, but this man here is a genuine apostle. Did I got an apostle sign then? No. I hadn't heard from God.
Yep.
God didn't say I was an apostle. That man said I was an apostle.
Yeah, so come on.
I mean, God, if God don't confirm it, don't mess with it.
Yeah.
No. It's not a tolerance. Come on, now, let's look here. Let's see what happened when you mimic and you're an imitator in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts.